From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here saying hello and welcome in the Savior's name to our Gospel program. I'm delighted that you've taken time to tune in, and I hope that you'll continue listening for the next quarter hour as the Reverend John Greer lets the Bible speak.
I want to turn your attention today to the book of Job chapter 33 and the verses 24 to 26. In these verses we read these words, "Then he is gracious unto him and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favourable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his righteousness." Throughout all of his trials, the greatest need that Job had was for someone to explain to him the nature of the terrible sorrows which had befallen him. Sadly, his three acquaintances, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, were not only totally inadequate in their efforts to explain Job's trials, they also gave to him an understanding of a situation that was completely wrong and very misleading. Their view of his situation, when conveyed to him, only resulted in adding to the confusion that filled his soul. When Job's three friends had fallen silent, another began to speak, a much younger man named Elihu, whose discourse runs from chapter 32 of the book of Job to chapter 37. Elihu, before speaking, had waited patiently until the debate between Job and the other three had ended. Therefore, Elihu was in a good position to give his view of Job's situation and offer his advice. It is worthy of note that when Elihu had ended his discourse, and the Lord himself began to speak in rebuke of Job and his three advisers, there was absolutely no divine criticism of what Elihu had said. It is therefore evident that Elihu's contribution had much to offer by way of truth for the soul. One of the great points which Elihu dealt with was this very need for someone to give a proper understanding of Job's situation, especially the righteousness of God in all his dealings with man. In verse 23, Elihu speaks of someone showing unto man his, that is, God's, uprightness. God is upright in all of his character and in all of his providential dealings with men, but Job could not see that fully at all. Therefore, Elihu refers to the need for a messenger, an interpreter, to reveal to Job a true understanding of the righteousness of God's dealings with him. Moreover, such was the complexity of Job's circumstances that, as Elihu expressed it, he needed one highly skilled to give a proper understanding of the situation in which he found himself. He needed one who was one among a thousand, as it says here in verse 23. One among a thousand, in order to gain a correct view of God's righteousness in Job's experiences. Now, the word for messenger often refers in Scripture to the prophet, one whose ministry is to deliver the message of God to men. But the prophet's work also involves interpretation. He must be skilled in the art of explaining or interpreting the ways of God to those with whom he deals. Furthermore, one who acts as an interpreter is necessarily dealing with two parties between whom he stands. Indeed, such a position reminds us of the work of the mediator, who must be able to speak to both parties and bring them together. With regard to the affairs of the soul, the interpreter must know the language of deity. He must understand the divine mind, the ways of God, and convey that information to the sinner. On the other hand, the interpreter must be acquainted with the language of human depravity and sinful need. He must be able to sympathize with the state of man, and out of that sympathy, take up the cause of the sinner. Truly, such an interpreter would be one among a thousand, someone unique, rare, even difficult to find. And yet we rejoice today that there is such an interpreter available to men, such a messenger, for there is one in Christ, the Lord Jesus, who is one among a thousand, who is able to reveal to men exactly the mind and the will of God for their salvation. In these verses, where Elihu speaks of the need for a messenger, an interpreter, to show to men the uprightness of God, and therefore the way of salvation, we have some gospel truths which are exceedingly precious to those who have become aware of the righteousness, the uprightness of God, and who are truly endeavouring to turn away from sin to seek the mercy of that God. Let us look at some of these truths. We'll begin today and we'll continue with this in our message next week in the will of the Lord. First of all, there is the ransoming of the sinner. In verse 24, we have these words, "Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." God reveals to those who seek him the truth of the ransoming of the soul. Only by such a ransom price being paid can the sinner be delivered from the pit of death and corruption. This is an ancient biblical truth, because Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible, and therefore we're shown that no genuine dealings between God and man could take place except upon the basis of the ransoming of the soul. This same truth, of course, is found in the New Testament, because God has not changed the grounds for the deliverance of the sinner. Moreover, notice that it is the Lord who declares, "I have found a ransom." This ransoming of the sinner from the pit is the provision of God, not man. In saying that he has found the ransom, it is clearly implied that the Lord has devised this means of having sinners converted to him. That is, through a ransom. Now, the word for ransom is a noun that literally means covering or atonement. It comes from a verb which means to make atonement or to cover. And this word is sometimes translated pitch, as we have in Genesis 6 verse 14, where, speaking of the ark, God gave the command, "Pitch it within and without with pitch." Now here is the same verb and the same noun used by the man Moses as he wrote the record of the building of the ark. And the words are translated pitch, so it could be read, "Cover it within and without with a cover." The references to the covering of pitch put on the ark that Noah built, both on the outside and the inside. Now, there is a clear gospel picture here. The ark, of course, is a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus. But since the word for pitch is this word that means atonement, we are shown that Christ could only save us by providing a covering, an atonement for us. He is our atonement. He provides a covering for sinners by which they are saved from the judgment of God. There is a significance too in the pitch being put on both the outside and the inside of the ark, You see, the atonement has first of all satisfied God, and then it has a saving effect upon man. So just as the ark had the pitch on the outside to turn away the waters of judgment, so also the atoning death of Christ diverts the wrath of God from the soul that is trusting in that atoning work. And just as the ark had pitch on the inside to preserve those within the ark, so the person who rests in Jesus Christ has that covering applied to his own life and to his own soul in the sight of God. Therefore, the atonement that Christ has made, the ransom price that he has paid, satisfies God's just demands, and then it covers the sinner and hides all of his transgressions from the divine view. Now, 8 times in the Old Testament, including Job chapter 33, the Hebrew word is translated ransom. Likewise, in the New Testament, Christ's atoning work is described as a ransom. Mark 10:45, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, a ransom is the payment of a debt. A ransom literally is a payment. In the case of the sinner being ransomed, it is the paying of the sinner's debt that he has incurred against the law of God. Man owes God a great debt because of sin, which must be paid if he is to be saved. Now, therefore, we understand that when the Bible speaks of Christ being our ransom, his blood being the price of that ransom, then we know that the debt of sin has been paid. And we may trust in the finished work of Christ without any hesitation, that we might be assured that our sin has been paid for. Then it's also the procuring of a discharge. It says in verse 24 here, "Deliver him from going down to the pit." The word for deliver means to redeem. And so the Lord is saying, "Set the sinner free. I have found a ransom." So the Lord Jesus Christ has procured freedom, redemption, deliverance for sinners by the ransom price that he paid. And then, of course, it's the prevention of a disaster. "Deliver him from going down to the pit." The pit spoken of refers to death and to utter destruction. To go down to the pit denotes the perishing of the soul. My friend, this is where you're headed. You need Christ. You must trust in the ransom price that he paid. You must trust in him today, and God will hear you and save you from your sins.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.